Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 10, day 3 of the study of Revelation. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Revelation chapter 21. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I want to thank each of you who have taken time to leave a review on iTunes or send me an email. I appreciate your encouragement. I'm amazed, humbled, and honored by the difference this podcast has made in so many lives. If this podcast has meant something to you, I always love to hear from you, either through iTunes or by sending an email to me at darrenhibbs.com. We're wrapping up the book of Revelation this week, and I want to encourage you to commit to doing something special, and I believe life-changing. Many people today feel the need to study the Bible, and they get bogged down by things that they don't understand, and many quit. Instead, I want to encourage you to begin reading the Bible. Put away the Bibles with lots of study notes and get a Bible with nothing but God's Word. You will be amazed at how many of your questions get answered if you simply read a book of the Bible multiple times in a row. That's the true power of what we're doing here with the 10-Week Bible, simply reading the Bible a lot. Let's pray before we start today. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us from the book of Revelation today. Would you open our eyes and our ears? Would you give us understanding into your Word? That we would know you more. In Jesus' name, amen. With that, let's jump into the book of Revelation. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Revelation chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." Let's pause right there and talk about this. This is a lot to take in here. And there's a city coming down out of heaven. Like there's a giant, massive city. And we're going to find out just how big this city is here in a little bit. But there's a giant, massive city that's actually coming down out of the heavens, you know, the outer space. It's coming down and it's going to land on the earth. And it's called this holy city, the New Jerusalem. And so it's going to be centered on the existing Jerusalem on the earth, but it's going to be huge. And again, we're going to look at this in a second. But this is one of the main distinctions of reading Revelation versus having your theology come from Hallmark or just from the things you've seen or heard. If you read Revelation over and over again, and I encourage you, please take time to read this book as many times as you can. When you read it, you will see very clearly here that we do not go away to heaven for eternity, to sit on a cloud and strum a harp for all eternity, be bored to tears. That's not what happens. This tells us very clearly that God is coming to earth. His intention, his desire, when he originally created everything, was that he would have a dwelling place. He actually made this planet for himself to reside on. He made us so that he would have fellowship on this planet. He's making this city that he's going to bring down to earth. I mean, Jesus said, "Hey, it's better I go away. I'm going away to prepare a place for you." This is that place. This is the place that Jesus went away to prepare for us. So God is bringing this down to earth, and he will dwell with us. We're not going to heaven. Heaven, if you want to think about it that way, is a temporary layover for believers that have died before this eternal reign. Heaven is but a temporary place. Verse 5, "He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these are the words. These words are trustworthy and true.' He said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Now, this is interesting that we're now told twice here that this lake is burning with sulfur. I mean, it's not just an unpleasant burning. It's an unpleasant smell. Everything about this is horrible. It's just horrible. This place is not somewhere you want to go. This is not a place you want anyone you know to go. Trying to get people to believe in God by getting them afraid of hell is not the best way to get people into heaven. But having people understand the reality, having people understand the truth, is not a bad thing. Understanding our state without God, understanding our fate without God, is important. I love to tell people that the good news is not good news if we don't understand the reality of our situation. The good news, if we don't understand who we are and where we're headed, the good news is just news. It's just information. It's not good. The fact that Jesus loves us and died for us to save us and set us free means nothing if we don't understand what he set us free from. It's meaningless if we don't know why he had to save us. This is the why. This is the punishment that God has in store for every person who rejects him. And that may sound harsh, but he gets to make the rules. And again, looking through the book of Revelation, we realize the depth of depravity. I hope as you read through the book of Revelation over and over and over again, the depth of human depravity. When the Holy Spirit is taken away from planet Earth, when he is no longer governing the actions of non-believers, of people without the Holy Spirit residing inside of them, when the Holy Spirit is removed, the restrainer, as Paul calls him, is removed from the earth, from the unbelieving earth, the full measure of people's wickedness will be revealed. Lawlessness itself will be revealed on earth, and people will do every wicked thing that's been in their hearts the whole time. So the problem is not that during that time period, people will be exceptionally wicked. They will be normal wicked. They will do the things that they would normally do now. It's just that now the Holy Spirit is restraining them from the full measure of their evil. People are just as evil now as they will be during the Great Tribulation. So when we understand that God is pouring out wrath on the earth for the level of depravity and wickedness of the people, we have to also understand that level of depravity and wickedness is in every single one of us until we accept Jesus. He sets us free from that wickedness and depravity. And the only thing that keeps the masses from exhibiting that wickedness and depravity is the restraint of the Holy Spirit. No, non-believers don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of them, but the Holy Spirit acts as their restrainer right now on earth for all unbelievers. The Holy Spirit even restrains believers, but we have him living on the inside of us. He dwells, the Lord dwells within us. Non-believers don't have that, but yet he still restrains the actions of people on earth. But when the restrainer is taken away, as Paul calls him, lawlessness will be revealed. The secret intentions that people don't even realize are inside of them, they will come out. And they will do every wicked thing that they're thinking of, that they want to do. But for those who believe in the Lord, we will be given this water of life, like Jesus explained to the woman at the well. If you knew who you were talking to, you would ask that I would give you water. this water that Jesus was talking about. He was not just being cute or figurative. There is a literal spring that's flowing from beneath God's throne that will water all of eternity. And Jesus will give it to us freely to drink, to revive us, to give us health forever. Let's move on to verse 9. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a high, great wall with 12 gates, and the 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, and 3 on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city was laid out like a square, as long as it is wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, and it is high as it is long. The angel measured the wall using human measurement. It was 144 cubits thick. The wall was made of jasper and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth ruby, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth turquoise, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made from a single pearl. The great street of the city was of gold, as pure as transparent glass. So let's pause there for just a moment and just talk about this eternal city, Jerusalem, this new Jerusalem, our eternal home, God's eternal resting place on earth. The first thing that we notice is John is saying he's seeing it. He's seeing it. He's up on this high mountain, and he says he's in the spirit. So we're getting the sense that he's not anywhere physical. He's like, it was like he was on a high mountain, or he was taken to a mountain great and high, and he's seeing this. And what we find out is this mountain must have been very high, because when we see how big this was, if you're not familiar with ancient measurements, which I'm not, 12,000 stadia is 1,400 miles. This city is like a giant cube. It's 1,400 miles wide, 1,400 miles long, and 1,400 miles high. For reference, the International Space Station circles the Earth at a few hundred miles above the surface, just a few hundred miles. I can't remember the exact number right now. I think it might be 300 and change. If any of you are NASA people and you can correct me, go ahead and write, send an email to me at darrenhibbs.com. But we're talking about this city is literally astronomically huge. Like, I don't even know how this works. I mean, where's the atmosphere when you get to the top of this thing? You're out in outer space. So there's going to be some radical transformation, some big changes coming. If this is going to work, there's going to have to be some big changes to planet Earth. But however that works, we know that God will live for real in this very real city. I've done some very nerdy calculations on this in the past, and you can actually, the city, if it's as tall as talking about, you could actually have floors, floor on top of floor on top of floor inside this city, where the space between the floors, the space between the floors of the building of the city, could be 70,000 feet apart. I mean, you could fly planes on each level of this thing. It's that big, just for understanding. This thing is massive. And this 144 cubits thick, it's 200 feet thick, are the walls. The other thing I think is amazing is he's being told here, hey, this city, John, you apostle of the Lamb, your name is on one of the 12 foundations. Jesus has brought about, he loves doing these numbers, this 144 cubits thick, you know, it's all of these multiples of 12. 144, of course, is 12 by, it's 12 times 12. There's 12 foundations after the apostles of the Lamb. There's 12 gates after the 12 tribes of Israel. It's the Lord loves using these numbers, and these people are honored forever, for all eternity. The 12 apostles of the Lamb are honored with the city, and the city is beautiful. I mean, the materials that Jesus has made the city out of are unthinkable, unthinkably brilliant and beautiful. Let's finish this chapter out. Verse 22, I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God gives its light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now here we get a very interesting tidbit about eternity. Is we're told here, even with this city on the earth, there's still nations, there's still kings, there's still authority. And what I want to point out with that is most people believe that heaven is going to be completely other than, eternity is going to be completely other than what our experience on earth is like. And that's not the point. The Lord is trying to show us here that eternity won't be completely other than, it will be wholly better than. Eternity won't be completely other than, it will be wholly better than our experience now. There won't be a temple in this city because the Lord will be there with us. He is the temple. The temple is the place where you go to commune with God, an unseen God. We won't have to do that because we will be able to commune with him face to face. We can convene a meeting with the God of creation face to face. He is the temple. There is no need for a religious structure anymore because he's there. He's there with us. I love this. The nations of the earth will bring their wealth and honor and glory into this city and lay it at the feet of God. That is what is appointed for us. No crying, no pain, no mourning, no more shame. That's what we have in store for us. And that's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm glad you joined me. As always, I appreciate it when you leave a review on iTunes. It's really the best way to let other people know about this podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.